Hi, I'm Claire Morrow. I began doing elder care work when my own parents started to falter and needed help, but I live very far away. In the beginning, I was trying to reach out to them and manage their situation. Even though I did have a sister who lived much closer, I was concerned, I wanted to help, and I was kind of making myself crazy because I didn't live nearby and it was very hard to do anything. But I'm an action-oriented person. If I see a problem, I like to think of a way to address it and go ahead and do that. And so I realized after I'd visited my parents and my dad was in a rehab for a stroke at the time, that there were problems that all elderly people or people who were becoming older were having with coping with the next phase of their lives. And because I had a counseling background and a programming outreach background, I began to work with my local elder services because I thought I can't always be there to help my parents, but I can help other people who are dealing with these problems. And that gave me a sense of purpose, and that's how I got into the industry. So there have been times in my life where going through a transition, I might not have been able to give friends the kind of time that we had enjoyed, you know, in our recent past. And I felt like I'm shortchanging them, or I feel myself getting impatient with the kinds of ways that they wanted to connect, even though they weren't any different from how we used to get together, but that my perspective on it had shifted and I would have to catch myself and realize that I had to readjust my priorities, and I didn't want to sacrifice that friendship, but it was going to have to be different. So in those circumstances, some friendships, I think, survive when that happens, and some friendships really don't. And it's happened to me where I'm going along expecting to have the same kind of interaction that I've always had, the same quality of time or the same amount of time on a regular basis, and suddenly that person is just not there, whether they're not present in physical space or their mind is not there. And it's better to just name that in a gentle way than to get all worked up about it and inside your own head about it. And like, there's no reason to get angry at someone who wants to do a thing that I'm no longer prioritizing because my time is and circumstances are more stressful. Just say, I'm under a lot of stress. I've made this choice and I really want to spend the time with you, but I'm not going to be able to give you the quality of interaction that I would like. So, you know, basically you say, may I be excused? And sometimes that works because the bond of friendship that you have can survive that. They can say, oh, I'm so glad you told me. I didn't realize this was so stressful for you, but and I'm sorry because I really miss our time together, but I understand. Sometimes you get that reaction. And sometimes you get like, what is it? Crickets. You get silence. You get nothing. And maybe it causes you as the person trying to just protect their boundaries and get through a difficult situation or just a happy situation that's very demanding, you have to say, okay, well, I'm going to step back. And if this friendship can survive, then it can survive. I think if you just live by a few tenets in life, Be impeccable with your word. Watch how you phrase things. Try not to be accusatory with friends when you feel like maybe they're being demanding or overlooking what you need. I have a wonderful friend who, when we get together, we talk at each other like crazy. And then one person will, you know, discuss something personal to them. And then if I've been going on for a while with that, she'll just stop me and she'll say, "Let's do me now." And then it's my turn to listen to her. And I think, you know, a phrase like that is okay to use between good friends, because she's not taking something away from me. She's just letting me know her need is to have airtime too. So I think that when we're under stress, we forget that the other person also has needs. So when you're clear about your own boundaries, it's good to inquire, what about you? How, is this okay with you? Is there something that you're going through right now that you really need my attention for? Because even though I'm juggling all these other things, I still want to be there for you. And when you're caregiving, you're in a situation that creates new priorities that perhaps your friends haven't confronted yet. And while you're explaining them, those new priorities to them, they may have things they're grappling with as well. Sometimes you can help each other, and sometimes you have to give each other the time to do that in different ways and to come back together when you're both in a better place. So how beautiful is all the technological ways we have to stay connected over long periods of time? Because one of the ways to nurture common concerns is to keep your mind open and to know what you enjoy doing, invest your time in that, and find ways to meet people who are also enjoying that thing. Because if your interest is sustained, then you'll always show up for that interest. And through that interest, you can maintain friendships. So that's one way to shift the balance when you realize circumstances have taken particular friendships out of your life. You can create new circumstances to add particular types of friends that match up to your interests and where you're more likely to be spending your time during this period of transition, whatever it happens to be. And then you need to acknowledge that you can make time to have friends. You know, and everyone has personal roadblocks that they set up when they're managing priorities to contain those kinds of interactions. And especially if you know that you like to put things off, but you're juggling priorities, you know, maybe you'd like to avoid a priority and you wish you had a friend who would distract you from it. Or maybe you feel like your friends are pulling you away from your priorities and you want to block that off. Well, you have to decide for yourself how much of a priority is a friendship. If that's a high enough priority at a given time, then a friend who's invested in you can perhaps acknowledge, you're telling me you only have so much time, and I'm willing to make time in my day in order to match the time you have available. Other times it might be the reverse, and you hope that that friend will reciprocate, but sometimes it just can't be. Pandemics happen, and you know, no, I'm not comfortable driving all the way over there and meeting you in a place that's really crowded. I just don't feel comfortable with that right now. Or, you know, I'm preoccupied with what's going on right in my own backyard right now. I can't leave. I have to be here. You can join me here. I welcome you to join me here. So that's another way that you can be sure you're making the time. And, you know, just do it. Keep the message short, but say, I miss you. I appreciate our friendship. I hope that we can get together in some way or form or through some means, because I value our friendship and I want it to continue. Being clear and stating what is true for you is the best way to maintain friendships. It's hard to manage when we're all doing things to try to help ourselves feel closer to other people that we cannot be with, you know, and I do it too. I'm an obsessive newspaper clipper, and I used to put stories that I read that I thought someone would be interested in into an envelope with a little note with a thinking of you, but now I just forward, and probably half the time nobody reads them because here I am forwarding something to them again, and it doesn't matter to me actually if they open it. I like to get a response, but I know that I made an effort. I did it in that moment to create a connection. In my mind, I offered a connection, and in the way that I operate with programming or activity workshops or whatever I'm trying to do, my feeling is if you offer the opportunity for connection, you've held up your end. Then it's up to the recipient or group of recipients to respond with interest. You cannot control another person's interactions, but in relationships, we make a pact. I will be interested. So if you're constantly throwing things out and not getting a response, that's intermittent reinforcement. And after a while, lack of reinforcement can really sever the tie. And that is very, very unfortunate. You know, long-term, if you have a long-term relationship, friendship that's been with you since childhood, you give that a pass, because when you do hear from them, it's no work at all to reestablish the connection. Like the person I would meet at the mailbox. She could call me this afternoon and want to FaceTime, and I would pick up the phone instantly and we would start talking like I just saw her at the mailbox yesterday, even though she lives miles, hundreds of miles away. But not every friendship is like that. And if it's too much work, you have to ask yourself why you're doing it. Why are you willing to do the work? Social interactions are part of who we are as human beings. And in that tension between individual and society is a real need to gather and connect and be part of a group. So it is essential to our humanity. And from the moment we're born, we have a group identity and we have an individual identity. A child is born into a family. A family is their first group. The group becomes extended family, and then it becomes neighborhood, and then it becomes your social community, your learning community, school becomes a community. Everything that you participate in is part of a community, and you have a relationship by virtue of your participation. And presumably, the community should be feeling a sense of relationship with you. It's essential to our humanness to have social connections. And we get to decide the quality of those. I mean, you don't choose the group you're born into. You can't decide who's going to be in your class. You have to deal with everybody in the class when you're a child. But as an adult, there are groups that you have more say over than others. And to that extent, find groups that are a comfort to you and identify those groups that you feel it important to participate in, whether you're comfortable with every single person in them or not. Obviously, the workplace is a really good example of a random group of people who share a common task. And the common task is a good focus point, because you may or may not find relationships that are sustained beyond the length of that common task. But an interest, like maybe you're an avid bird watcher. No matter who the other people are, if they have a similar passion for bird watching, that's going to be a rewarding group to be a part of. The same as if you're with people on a work team and they're all invested in the task, that's going to be satisfying, whether you agree with their social stances on other things or not. Just like humans need connection, we can only tolerate a certain amount of isolation. And some people are more tolerant of it and comforted by it than others. But a lot of it depends on the resources available to you when you are on your own. And certainly if you're trying to take care of another person and you feel like you need help but you can't get it because of the circumstances, that's not a fruitful isolation. That's a distressing isolation. That's very real. Even if you could contact someone to give you advice, if you needed hands-on help, that might not be available. So as a caregiver, cultivating supports in advance of need can be really important, because you want to have more than one alternative. And feeling alone in what you're doing because no one that you know can relate to it is a serious issue. You're not going to garner sympathy. You have no one to offer advice or experience or share what works for them in certain situations or give you tips. That's why a support group that's specific to your situation might be helpful. And there are so many of them across the country that are available for specific needs of caregiving or chronic illnesses of caregiving that can be tapped into. And the same way your friends may not be at a stage of their lives where they're dealing with caregiving directly, there are also online one-on-one counselors who can allow you a space and time to vent and also direct actions that can be helpful to you and supportive in a very personalized way. And those, you should pursue those if you are in a distressing state of isolation and feel you have no one immediately to turn to. A safety valve in the form of support groups or individual counseling is really necessary, but also to recognize that it's a learning path that you're on, and you can master a particular situation in a particular moment in time, but it's going to change and come back in a different form. And your mindset for coping will necessarily continuously be adjusting. So the frustrations of being a a human on the planet are not the same every day of the week, and they certainly aren't when you're caregiving and constantly in the company, if you're living with that person, with another person in any situation, but especially one that is in need and that you want to render help to. And that can be difficult and frustrating and frightening, and you need a place to allow those emotions to come to the forefront and have that time to do you, as my friend would say. Do you in the right way, where experience and guidance is available, and that a trusted partner can give you the kind of consolation, but also help you build skills that increase your level of resilience in the situation, and also help you to be more personally resourceful and give you outlets for sharing what you have learned with others. Because sharing what you know helps reinforce and make you better at what you do. I have a friend who recently lost her family, and she's like, how long is this grief going to continue to swamp me? It's immobilizing. I'm trying to get through the day, but I keep getting stopped. You know, this is tough stuff. And traumatic situations lead to traumatic responses. And we have to wait it out sometimes. And that's where other tools like mindfulness other kinds of coping practices, mindfulness and exercise and nutrition and keeping yourself on a schedule and managing your time, those supports just help you measure the length of a day. But friendship comes in a different package almost, because friends help you feel not isolated, not alone, and a friend can be present even when they're not physically there, simply by you reviving your sense of connection to them.